Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's good to see you on the last Sunday of the decade. We're going to the 20s. My grandpa was born in the 20s. Like, wow. Here we are. Can you believe it? 2020. You've all heard hindsight is 2020, right? Hindsight is 2020 because we experience life and we look back and we think, well, if I would have just known this and this and this, right, I would have known what to do. I would have known the choices to make. I would have known how I should have lived. I would have known what I should have said, right? You look back, oh, I should not have said that. If only I could have seen clearly what I should have said. There are many moments of those in our lives, aren't there, where we wish we had the 2020 foresight, where we could see exactly what was going to happen, or we can know exactly the choice we should make and then make that choice because we could see everything that may happen by our choices. So one of my moments I will share with you. You know, sometimes my stories involve rafting. We're going to have another one with rafting. I love rafting. It's fun. It's exciting, and it's dangerous, and it's exhilarating, and bad things happen sometimes. So we're at the end of a Youth Works missions trip. We're doing some R&R, and so we are rafting down part of the Colorado River. Now, this is a pretty tame part of the river. It's not that dangerous, not super exciting if you're in a raft. So we had a couple choices. You can choose to get in the six-person raft with a guide, or you can choose to go in a two-person ducky. It's a little tiny raft, and so what a little tiny wave would do to a big six-person raft makes it feel like a big old roller coaster ride to a two-person ducky. That's what they were called. And so, of course, being the adventurous one, give me the ducky, right? There's no way I'm going to be in a big old raft and not be able to feel anything on this ride down a lazy river. Give me the ducky. I want an exciting, exhilarating ride. So in the beginning, I'm with one of a young middle school girl student. And we're going through and we're having fun. And I'm excited. I'm trying to encourage her because she's freaked out. Right? She's terrified. I'm like, oh, this is so fun. Oh, this is awesome. But eventually, about around after every rapid that we go through, the lead guide will say, all right, does anyone want to stop being in the ducky? You can go ahead and get into one of the big rafts. So my student ends up saying, I'm done. I'm out of here. So she ends up getting into a big raft. Another girl goes into the big raft. And so now I combine with another leader. So two of us big guys. And now we're just like, oh, let's go. This is going to be awesome. You know, I don't have to worry about her because, you know, he's a guy now, and he's old, and he's an adult, and we can go crazy, right? So we're going to experience these rapids as well as we can. So our first rapid together, like, we're the first ones to fall out. Like, we had so much speed going, and then I just got launched off. I lose my hat, you know, but it was like the smallest little rapid possible. We couldn't believe it. We were so embarrassed because, you know, there's these young girls that are together going down and they're still on their little ducky and here come us and we're in the water trying to get back on. Oh boy, awesome. But we get our act together and we start getting down the rapids and we're doing well together. And then we stop because we get to the part that all of a sudden is dangerous. Okay, so the lead guide gets us to the side in a little cove and starts giving us a little pep talk. And I don't know if my voice gets gravelier every time I share this story, but he was so serious. And he had this voice. And he said, if you are not confident about going down these rapids, you need to get out now. You need to get into the big raft because this is the most dangerous part of the river. People have died on this part of the river. It is so dangerous. So if you don't have confidence, if you're not bold, if you can't swim, get out now. So I'm like, hoo-hoo, all right, okay, trying to freak me out. I'm looking around, anyone leaving? Nope, all right, I'm not leaving either. I'm staying in my ducky. All right, this is happening. We're going through this. This is going to be good. We're fine, right? And so he said, "All right, if you fall out, swim left. Swim left." So he kept on saying swim left. It is ingrained in our brain. We're thinking swim left, swim left, swim left, because something dangerous could happen if you choose to let the river take you to the right. There's this part that can suck you under and trap you, and then people have died by staying to the right. And so it's important that you're able to swim left. So I'm like, okay, I know how to swim. My friend knows how to swim. We got this. And so he tells the plan now. All right, we're going to have a big raft go first. Then there's going to be two duckies, then another big raft, then two more duckies, then another big raft. Just in case you fall out, we'll have someone to be able to catch you and make sure you're okay. I'm like, good planning, right? Making sure we're safe, making sure that, you know, I'm not floating down the river all by myself, ready to die. I don't like that. I don't like that thought, so let's make things as safe as possible. Now, in this process of the information being shared, the lead raft is way in the distance, just waiting for us. Just waiting for us to start coming. So we are the first ducky to go. So we're supposed to go right after the six-person raft. And we're getting closer and closer to this goalie to be in this most dangerous part. And she's just waiting there and waiting there. We're like, "You gotta go. Did you get the memo? Go. You're first. Go!" Right? We're yelling. We're screaming to the top of our lungs. And she's just sitting there waiting for us. And finally, she got the memo. And so she gets up and she starts going into the rapids. But if you know anything about a big old six-person raft and a little two-person raft, which one's going to go faster? The little two-person, we are flying through that gully now. And we're in the midst of these waves. And as we're going, here's them. Here's one of our female students. We dock right on top of her. And then we get flipped. And now we're in the midst of the most dangerous part of the river because people weren't communicating well. And what's going through my mind? Swim left. It was in my mind, and so I'm like, he's good. He knows how to swim. I don't need to worry about him. Let's go. And so I am swimming left. I am drinking so much of that nasty, muddy Colorado River, and I'm getting left as far as possible, as fast as possible. And eventually, they pick me up in their raft, and I am so frustrated, and I'm like, are you serious? Now I have to be in a six-person raft the rest of this time, and I don't get to be in a fun ducky. This is unbelievable. Unreal. Because of miscommunication, right? If I had hindsight 2020, foresight 2020 in that moment, I would have said, shouldn't this person be in with our conversation and knowing the plan so that they go first and that I don't dock on them, right? Because I know I will go faster and then I will dock on them and then I'll get flipped and then I'll be in the water and I'll be swimming left like you told me to swim left and then I'll be full of this nasty water and in the night I will be puking my guts out over and over because I got all this nasty muddy water in my system. That happened. It was nasty. Right? Just these thoughts and these processes and these realizations that we have once things happen and it all lays out. Right? If I had that 2020 vision and I had that foresight, things would have been different. I would have been on that raft, that little ducky the rest of the time. And it would have been a blast. But instead, I get a story to tell you. But what if I were to tell you that because of what has happened in the past, because of what has occurred, that we can have 2020 vision in our lives, and specifically in the year 2020. We can see and we can know clearly what should be done when we look back at what has been done. And what I specifically mean is what our Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. When we look at Him and we look at what He has done, that can cause us to be able to see clearly the decisions that we should be making as a body, as Christians, as followers. And we're going to look specifically at the life of Stephen as he lived with 2020 foresight and how we can too. And so we're going to start in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It says this, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to the prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. So right off the bat, we see in light of what had happened in Jesus Christ, Stephen served. Stephen was a man of service. And if you notice in this passage, we see that he was a man that was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And you may think in that moment, well, if he's full of the Holy Spirit, what's he doing administrative work for? What's he doing just meeting some needs of some widows? Distribution of food? Like, can't anyone do that? Like, that should be pretty much, right, anyone. But here they had this service, this important service for a man, right? One of the requirements was a man full of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen was one of these 7 men. And he accepted this call to be able to meet one of the needs that they had in the church. And so as you think about this, and as you look at this, in this process, as they took care of their own people, the message that they were sharing was able to continue to be spread out. Right? If they continued to neglect these widows, what would happen to their message? Right? Their message would be ruined because of the hypocrisy that they would see. And they would see, why are you doing this? Why are you neglecting to meet the needs of your own people? But right, what do? They saw the need. And they figured out a way to meet the need through faithful servants. Stephen being one of those faithful servants. And because he was able to and willing to and full of the Holy Spirit to serve what could be considered this easy task, not too difficult, not too hard, because he was willing to do that, the message was able to continue to spread. And people didn't see hypocrisy, but what they saw was a church, was a body that poured out love to its people. And how important it was for him to take that call and to be able to serve in the midst of what the needs were in that moment. And so Stephen, in light of what Christ had done, in light of what Christ had done in his life and seeing the sacrifices that he had made, chooses to then serve as he was called to serve. And I look at you here. I look at each person here and I think, have you ever served and thought, someone else could do this? This isn't very important. This isn't vital. I'm just here doing some little bit of service here and, you know, anyone else could do this. I want to tell you that's rubbish. I don't say rubbish, but that's rubbish. That's a lie. Each and every person here, you have a place to be able to serve, to be able to serve your God, and it makes an impact. You who come here on Wednesday nights to serve our children in Awana Ministries, you may have been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years. It makes an impact. Your faithfulness, your love to the children, the way you encourage them and support them and laugh with them and share with them and listen to them makes a huge impact and is vital to this church and is vital to these ministries. Whether you're in men's ministry or women's ministry or the Seasoned Saints or any of these ministries, the youth ministry, your involvement and your willingness to serve and your willingness to invest makes a difference. And it's so important. And we're so grateful for those who have been entrenched, who have been serving, who have been loving. But I want you to know, It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. The needs continue. The children keep coming and keep growing, and they need people in their lives to love on them and support them. The youth that we have, look at those cutie pies. They need to be loved. They need people, godly men and women, to come and take the call and to be able to get into their lives and to serve them and to support them and to speak truth into their lives. We need to be that support system, and we need to be those people that take on the call to serve faithfully. And so I don't know where you are at. Maybe you're one who has been serving faithfully for many, many years, and that is awesome. Continue. And know that that service is needed, and it's so vital. Maybe you're in a place where you just haven't served. You've gone through the flow. You come on Sunday mornings. You know, you do your thing. You're busy. You got life. You got things to take care of. I want to tell you that you are needed, and that we, as the body, need to serve together so that the world may see His love. That we would take on what Stephen did to be able to serve in light of what Christ has done. In light of His love for us, then we go ahead and serve and love because of His. What a great joy we're able to have when we take on that challenge. So the second thing that Stephen did is Stephen lived. Stephen lived because of what Christ had done. Stephen lived. So everyone lives, right? What do you mean Stephen lived? Well, because of how he lived, full of the Holy Spirit. Right? We see that he's full of the Holy Spirit, he is living for the Lord, and he knows the Word of God. He knew the Word, and we see this as in chapter 7, what he's doing is he's telling the history of Scriptures, right? He's telling them what has happened in the past and what it means now and the prophecies that are being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And he is making sure that they know the truth, that they are aware of what the truth is. And if you notice this in this passage, there are people that are accusing Stephen falsely, right? They're saying he's done things that he actually didn't do, but he doesn't choose to defend himself. What he is doing is he's defending his God. And this is getting him in a mess of trouble because he was willing to live for Christ no matter what. Stephen lived for his Savior. And to truly live for Christ, if we were truly living for Christ and living for Him, we can know what to do. We can know how to live. We can know the choices to make this day and this coming year. That is available to us. Because when we have foresight 2020, we know what to do. We know how to live. We're able to do this when we write His words upon our heart. When we write His words upon our heart. Psalm 119:11. It says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Think about that, right? That we write His word upon our hearts so that we know what to avoid. So we know how to live. So we know what not to do or know what to do. That we hide it there. That we make sure that it stays there. That we can go to it anytime, any day. And Joshua 1:8 says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. When we write His word upon our hearts and allow it to transform us, allow it to move us toward Him, we will be living lives which see 2020 vision. You kids in here, cubbies, sparks, TNTers, trekkers, journeymen, journeys, as you memorize Scripture, as you memorize the Word of God in your classes on Wednesday nights, write it upon your heart. Don't just memorize it for getting the signature, getting the piece of candy, moving on to the next day, being able to come up here at rewards night and get a medal. Those are fun things, but the purpose of it all is so that you would write His Word upon your heart, so that you would know what His Word says, and so you would know how to live. Parents, how are you doing at that? What kind of example are you being to your kids? Do you read His Word together and write it upon your heart together as a family? That's a great opportunity. The verses that they learn on Wednesday night or on Sunday morning, that you would write that upon your heart together as a family. And you would look at it. And you would memorize it, even though you probably have already memorized it yourself. Maybe you haven't. And you do it together. And so that when things come up, when situations arise, you can teach them what it looks like to pull the Scripture from your heart and choose to live a certain way because of what God tells us to do. And what a beautiful example that is, Dad and Mom, when you choose to do it with your kids and teach them at such a young age of how to live according to His Word. Write it on your hearts together. Do it together. Grandparents, same thing. You have such an influence on your family still. Don't neglect that gift that we have. Let us allow our kids to see how much joy we take in His Word. Read it together. Don't make them think that this is homework or this is a burden because you're not willing to read it yourself. Make them see what joy you take in His Word. And if you've lost that joy, pray that the Lord would give that back to you. Day by day, cherish His Word, because it is His Word to us, and it is Him, it is our Lord speaking to us beautiful truth. It is not a burden. It is a joy. And let us live together cherishing His Word as families. Well, third, this is quite a difficult task, but what Stephen did is Stephen forgave. In Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60, it says this: while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. I don't know about you, but that is probably not the first thing that would come to my mind while people are killing me. Don't hold this sin against them, right? Usually, probably what would happen is, how could they do this to me? Why is this happening? But instead, here's Stephen forgiving those who are stoning him, who are putting him to death, because of what he believed in, because of what he claimed, because of his Savior that he was proclaiming to them. And what he saw in the midst of this, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, were people who were in need of a Savior, just like he was in need of a Savior. And his heart was that they would be forgiven, that they would find what he had found, a Savior who loves them. He was truly living and truly forgiving. Ephesians 4:32 says this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Right? We forgive because we've been forgiven. We have this opportunity each and every day in whatever has happened to us and whatever has come our way. We have this opportunity to forgive because we have been forgiven. And we're called to forgive because we've been forgiven. And what a joy we're able to have when that takes place. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let us not forget the forgiveness we've received. The forgiveness we continue to receive each and every day. And allow that to transform us into people who see others not for their faults and not for their downfalls, but see them in light of how Christ sees them. As those who need a Savior. As those who need forgiveness. That's freely given. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a serious message for us from our Lord Jesus Christ. The importance to forgive because we've been forgiven. Forgive. It sets us free. And then finally, Luke chapter 17. You may say to me, well, Dan, what about the person that continues to sin against me over and over and over again? Right? They don't really mean it. I can't forgive them over and over. That's just ridiculous. I'm done. I give up. Well, verses 3 and 4 in Luke 17. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Forgive him. You see, when we forgive, we understand a little more of how much we've been forgiven of. When we allow that to happen, and when we do what we're supposed to do when it comes to forgiving people, we get a freedom. And we get to partake in what Christ has done for us in forgiving other people and get glimpses of how amazing the forgiveness is that we've received. But when we withhold forgiveness and we hold on to bitterness and frustration and anger and pain, what ends up happening? We miss out. We miss out on the glimpses of grace that's able to happen in relationships. We miss out on mending of relationships that's able to occur. We miss out on people able to see the love of Christ flow through us because we are willing to forgive them of what they have done. I don't know who it is or what it is that you're going through, and if there's someone that you just cannot forgive because of the terrible things that they've done, or that you're just so bitter against them and they've asked for forgiveness and you just refuse. I don't know if that's any of you here, but we are called to humble ourselves and forgive. And that is going to set you free from that burden that is on your shoulders, that you are carrying, that weight that you have. If you set that free and if you give that forgiveness, oh, what a beautiful freedom that is. You don't have to carry that anymore. And Stephen, somehow in this moment, full of the Holy Spirit, was able to forgive those who were killing him. What an amazing example for you and for me. Whatever it is in your life right now, if there's anything, if there's anyone, I would encourage you, forgive. Forgive them. Love them. Embrace them. Let us go into 2020 knowing that we can and we should forgive. And finally, what happens is Stephen died. Verse 60. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen here, he died because he lived. Right? The majority of people probably would have run away, would have stopped talking, would have gotten out of the situation somehow, some way. But here's Stephen, willing to die for Christ because of the life that he had in Christ. He was secure. He had hope. He had a boldness that was there because of what Christ had done. And he was willing to die because of what Christ had done for him. You know, he could see because of what Christ did, and he could have confidence and hope in this moment, right? There's this incredible peace that you see in Stephen at the end of his life here. This peace and this confidence and this boldness and hope where he is saying, forgive. Don't hold this sin against them. Lord, receive my spirit. This boldness that is there and this hope that is there. And it's a hope that each and every one of us can have no matter where we are. No matter what stage of life we're in, no matter what we're going through, no matter what difficulty there is, we have a hope in a Savior. And that should cause us to thrive in this life and to thrive in our choices. Because when we put them through the grid and we look, what do I do today? What choice do I make in this moment? What do I do? I'm afraid. I'm terrified. We can have hope that we have a Savior that loves us, who's forgiven us, who calls us to be a people who read His Word and hide it upon our hearts and meditate upon it day and night and tells us how we can live and love and embrace that gift. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what your struggles are when you go back home. I don't know what is keeping you or keeping us from being a person who's able to see 2020. The distractions in life, maybe it's pride or bitterness or the world and the different things that we go to. But we have this life that we can see how to live because of what has occurred. Because of our Savior, we have hope. Because of our Savior, we have truth. Because of our Savior, we've been forgiven and can forgive. Let us not neglect this joy. Let us not neglect His presence in our life this year. Let us take joy in Him. And I don't know where you are, but if you are in a place and you have not been cherishing His Word, or if you're in a place and you have not been serving Him, because maybe you just came to this church and you're kind of in limbo, right? You're kind of deciding, am I going to stay here? Is this going to be my home church? Or am I going to go find a new place? I don't really want to serve until I actually decide whether or not I'm actually going to be here. Oh, please, 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 wherever you're at, serve. There are people who need you. There are people who are going to be blessed so much when you choose to give your life and give your time and give your moments. Maybe it's from serving our little tiny ones to our older ones and all between. What a joy it is. Recapture this joy with your family, with your loved ones. with yourself, your alone time. Recapture this joy. Hide it in your hearts. Allow it to make you move into what you choose to do each and every day. Take joy in it. Be willing to serve and know what a precious gift it is to be able to give this gift of your time and your life to our people. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we're so grateful for your love and your example. And Lord, we seek to do your will this year. Lord, we desire to serve you with our life, with joy, with hope. And Lord, we just thank you for your example for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.